Hello and welcome to What's Brewing, Cisra? What's Brewing, Cisra is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISRA president.
And I'm Danny Yarbrough, Dennis's co-host and fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISRA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISRA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Okay, Dana, we're rolling. Let's hope it works okay. We're having some audio difficulties on Dana's side of the world, apparently.
Yes, you sound like a muffled robot.
A muffled robot. So not even a clear-sounding robot. I sound like a muffled robot. Okay.
You sound like a muffled robot computer man.
Wow. And we've done everything we can. We've reset everything. Yes, I hear Dana okay. Which hopefully means our listeners hear Dana okay. If not, we'll just have to chalk it up to episode number 89. Going to heck.
Yes.
I don't know how else to explain it.
I was going to say, so pardon me, everyone listening, if I have to ask Dennis every now and then to repeat himself.
Yes, I've been told I must talk directly into the mic. For Dana to understand me.
Yes. Shall we play a game?
Yes.
Afterwards.
There we go. Exactly. We'll record a science fiction television show while we're at it.
Yes.
Or podcast.
Yes.
Except for I would need to hear what I sound like on your end to insert that into the show.
Yes. That's what we would do.
Assuming everything is recorded on my end correctly. Because I do hear me through my headphones, through the mixer board, which records us too. And I do seem to sound fine. You sound fine. You know, normal Zoom quality, which is usually pretty good. Every once in a while you get that, you know, muffled thing that you get on Zoom, but not a whole bad, nothing bad at this point. So, who knows? You know what it is? It's because my VPN is down in the office. And that's what this is all about.
Oh, that's what it is. So it's a conspiracy against me because of your VPN.
I'm assuming that's got to be what it is. Because you know why? I wanted to use it last night to do some work.
Oh, and you cannot because it's down.
Exactly.
How convenient.
Yeah, I know. Which means when I get off of this meeting and go to a regular meeting, this morning, I have to ask our boss on campus to go to our office.
And turn your computer on, yes.
And reset my computer. This VPN stuff. This is almost like reason number one I want to go back to the office. It has nothing to do with anything else other than I'm done with this VPN setup.
Yeah, it's not... I was gonna say terrible, but it's not the best.
That is true.
It's not the
I'm
best.
Pretty sure we must have got it from, like, Discount Bob's VPN Emporium.
It certainly feels that way.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the thing is that's always funny when it comes to this kind of stuff in our district is, well, you know, we have to think about the fact that we have thousands of people, so we have to get a product. And, of course, then, you know, you think of any contractual dealings that you have to deal with. I don't know. It's just one of those things. I'll leave off at that because I don't want to insult anyone. It's a process. Our processes tend to be broken. And so it's only inevitable that whatever product out there works as well as it does. And unfortunately, it's not like some of the other products. Like, you know, we use Zoom here to get you and me to connect. And Zoom, I think if we look back a year ago to now, has made some marked improvements.
Oh, definitely.
You know, they've improved their product. Again, the mere fact that they have in the audio settings where you can do settings like this, like set your Rodecaster Rodecaster Pro as the audio in and out for USB. That's big. Video options are better. They've made improvements. And then even the stuff we use for our counter, we use a Cranium Cafe from Connex Ed. And they've made a lot of improvements, right? I mean, we've seen improvements in Cranium.
And how fast they make those improvements, too.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, VPN, not so much.
Not so much. Man, Dennis, you know, if only we could go back in time and buy stocks in these.
I know, right?
In Zoom and Codex. Come on, man.
I know. We could have ridden the Zoom wave of funding. Because for whatever reason, I mean, they're not the only one out there. Keep that in mind. I mean, I know people who use WebEx or whatever, or GoToMeeting. Some of these may have combined themselves over the years. Some just use Microsoft Teams, and they do all their stuff like this through that. There are some other ones out there, but for whatever reason, Zoom must have already had just enough of a foothold.
It dominates. Yeah, it's like MP3 player versus Apple's,
iPods?
Yes, iPods, yes. Sorry. Right? It's like,
yes.
It's not an MP3 player, it's an iPod, right?
You know, and I know that for certain because I remember, oh my goodness, how many years ago, when I wanted to get my first MP3 player. Because I had a large CD collection at that point.
Uh-huh.
For those who don't know, CD is compact disc. Music used to come on these little silver discs. Little, 5 inches or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted an MP3 player to make it easier to bring music. Because I would have in my office, I can't remember if I had it at Mission or just the school I worked at before, like a 5-disc or 3-disc playing little boombox.
Yeah, I used to have one too.
And I'd bring CDs all the time to work. But that meant you had to bring stuff that you knew you wanted to listen to that day. Whereas I wanted MP3. So my first one I bought, I forgot the name of the brand because I don't want to embarrass them. But it was back in the early days of iPods being out. And I wasn't an Apple guy quite yet. Okay. I hadn't switched over. And it just was a horrible product. It sounded bad. The MP3 file sounded bad.
Mm-mm.
I never liked it. So then I moved over. Finally, at some point, I got myself, the iPod that had the little hard drive. And it's the one with the big spinny wheel on it.
Oh, yes.
You know, the original. And it had a lot of storage on it, too.
Oh, yeah.
And so, thousands and thousands of songs. And I had a big library, so it made it easier to just, say, transfer the whole library.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, it was still MP3, but for whatever reason, Apple products have always sounded better to me as far as even their ability to take MP3s and make them sound reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is, of course, that's never good enough. So I've had multiple iPods over the years, but at some point, maybe about 3 years ago, maybe four, less than seven, more than one. Yeah, I'll put it in that range there. I decided, after talking to some friends who are much bigger hi-fi nuts than me, that I needed to have my music in hi-fi mode.
Mm.
So what I did is, you know, if you look at what you download from the iTunes store, or when you put a CD into a drive in your computer and rip it to your iTunes library, most people rip it as MP3s, which is a compressed data scheme for your music. It doesn't specifically mean it compresses the music as far as what you hear, you know, dynamic-wise, but it compresses the data. It does all this math. There's some really good documentaries out there if you really want to nerd out on this, but there's ways to find out how it works and all. And the idea is that you take a CD that holds about 600 megabytes of data for a regular album, and it brings it down to maybe 30 megabytes. So it's all about storage. It isn't anymore, but back in the day, those little iPods, even if it had a gigabyte or two, wouldn't take long to fill up with a lot of albums. Right, Dana?
Absolutely, because look, I think mine, it died
uh-huh.
after a couple of years, I think.
Sure. And, you Yeah, some of them did as it got more advanced.
Yeah.
But in sound quality alone, MP3 is kind of limited. Even the highest quality MP3 you can do, which takes up more data again, and higher bitrate, as they call it, still doesn't quite sound as good to me. So, again, 3 to 4 years ago, I know we're off topic, but we need to fill this morning, people. We don't have that much news.
We're going down that hole.
I went to my iTunes library, probably at about 1,000 albums at that point, and deleted everything.
Because I'm
the type of person, again, because I hold true that artists should get paid for their work, I own all the CDs that are in my library. I'm not one of these people that buys the CD, rips it, and then, I don't know, sells it back or whatever. If I take in CDs, like I will at some point soon, to Amoeba Music, and I got a bag sitting over here on the side, out of the library they come. So I had all the CDs. So what I did is, in Apple iTunes, or now it's, I think they call it Apple Music on your Macintosh if you're using a Mac or whatever, you can set the input settings to what kind of quality you want. You can literally rip a CD bit for bit, I think, and that's called a WAVE file. So when you see the file name, it's like, you know, LonesomeJubilee.wav. That would be the name of the song and the type of file. But there's a lot of other things you can do. There's what's Apple Lossless, which is what I use, which means that it doesn't lose any quality of the sound at all. There is some data compression just in an Apple scheme, but conceivably you could convert back and forth from the WAVE file, that's the original off the CD, to Apple Lossless, and back and forth if you wanted to, and you'd never lose anything in sound quality. And that's what I did. Now, I got a friend that does something similar. He uses a different compression scheme called FLAC, F-L-A-C. The only thing is, though, Apple has never been really good about converting to a CD to FLAC. It can do some things, but it can't. So all my files are pretty much Apple lossless. They do take up a lot more space, but it takes up maybe 60% or 70% of the space that it would of a full CD at full WAVE file size. So I do save a little bit. But then what I did is, of course, Apple hasn't been making a whole lot of iPods lately, have they?
No.
I think they're...
Everybody uses their phone now.
Exactly. And I think they just have the one that looks like the phone. You know, the iPod something. I forgot what they call it. But yeah, so now all my music is in full force, Apple lossless coded. I do have music on the phone, but I went out and bought myself a Walkman. Now, Dana, it's not the old style Walkman. It's
not
the kind with the...
No, I never talked about it because I have one, too.
You have one, too. It's not the one with the cassette player, everybody. Yeah. Sony still makes Walkman. They're smaller than the old ones because they can be small. And they are all digital. And again, you can drop all your music in there at almost any level of quality. Certainly, you can do MP3 and get a lot of music on there. Or you can do Apple lossless. Heck, you can do WAVE. You can do FLAC. You can do, there's so many other encoding methods out there that if you get your music onto it, you're going to have such a higher quality sound.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt. And you've liked yours, I assume?
Oh, yeah. And I like that it's convenient. You know, yes. And it's so small. And like you said, just, it can hold so much.
Exactly. Again,
like you said, your whole library.
It does, even for mine, in my library, just so you know, in data terms, is probably about 800 gigabytes. So a little short of a terabyte. And luckily, that Sony Walkman does take the little, what they call SD cards, you know, the little data cards.
Yes, it does. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so when it first came out, I got one that was like 128 gigabytes. You know, that holds quite a few albums, but not all of mine.
Right, uh-huh.
But I did find at one point, and it was like probably a year and a half ago, they had a sale at Amazon for a 1 terabyte SD card.
Wow, you got that.
Yeah, I did. Because initially, when they first came out, they were like $500, $600. Because, you know, you're talking about a lot of data on a tiny little card.
A lot, yeah.
But it was like 40% off or something.
Wow. There's something you know how much you paid?
I can't remember. It was still a couple $100 is my guess. It still had to be $200, $300.
But still, but, one terabyte, man.
Exactly. So I bought one. And again, the thing is, when here's a, here, just real quick on this. If you're shopping for terabyte SD cards, there's really only one manufacturer that makes them, SanDisk. If you see other ones out there, and in particular if they're from companies you've never heard of, do not buy them. They are junk, and they are not one terabyte. They are, like, unfortunately, too much stuff on Amazon, and I'm not going to blame any country or manufacturer, but there are junky stuff out there that's not real. You know, I mean, so if you don't recognize the name on it, don't buy it when it comes to this stuff.
Don't do it to yourself.
Because you'll read the reviews and it'll be like, advertised as a 1 terabyte card. Thing was a 1 gigabyte card with a little slot holder that said 1 terabyte, and it never, no. It's all lies. SanDisk was the, I think they are still the only company out there producing these little digital cards at 1 terabyte.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was on the bleeding edge there to get my Sony Walkman in a sense to hold all my music. So now that we've talked so much about music, David, you know what time it is?
It's time for getting ready for the next episode.
Yeah, let's play a little music and move our way into our second segment.
We're back for our second cup on the Let's Brew Cispa Show.
That worked out so well.
We really went down the road.
I'm not even sure how we started on that, other than talk about audio quality, right?
Yes.
And the fact that I probably sound like a robot too, Dana.
Oh, man, you still do.
Danger, danger. Maybe we'll do a show just, if this is the way it's going to be from now on, we'll just do a show about robots.
And we can talk like this during yes. our show.
I wonder if a robot are related to chatbots.
Oh my gosh. We didn't read the news before.
Yeah, let's get going here, everybody. We did say this was a news day, and when you read the little title in your favorite podcast player, it will say news day.
The point of no return, man.
All right, let me kick it off here. So news item number one. Federal Student Aid, or FSA, put out an electronic announcement at the end of April reminding schools that they must have active DUNS numbers by registering their grantee and payee DUNS numbers in the SAM website. Schools must complete the registration confirmation annually. So this all ties into how the G5 system verifies our DUNS, or Data Universal Numbering System, in the SAM website. SAM stands for System for Award Management. It all ties into how schools are able to draw down funds from the feds and make disbursements of Title IV and other aid and grants to students. Also, if you have like a special grant from the feds, it's the same system all through this DUNS numbering thing. So also, completing the registration process now will allow schools to be automatically set up to later receive their Unique Entity Identifier, or UEI, which will be implemented by the U.S. Department of Education in April 2022. More information about this new UEI code will be given in future electronic announcements, so don't worry too much about it for now. We're going to put a link to all this DUNS-related stuff in the electronic announcement from the feds in our show notes.
Everyone, here's some more down-to-earth information for all of us to spread to our students. Beginning May 12th, all Pell Grant recipients will be able to sign up for the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program to receive a $50 per month subsidy to cover the cost of internet and up to $100 for a connected device. Students can find out more and sign up at getemergencybroadband.org. Students can verify their eligibility in one of two ways. They can provide an email from the U.S. Department of Education that informs them of their Pell eligibility,
or a screenshot from the studentaid.gov dashboard for the 2020-2021 school year that shows their Pell Grant information. For those of you who are on the CFAEO or listserv, you should have received an email last week Friday regarding this that included a graphic you can use on the Financial Aid Office website or in email communications to your students.
I've already passed that along to our financial aid supervisor in the office so that we can get that graphic out on the website for
everybody.
It's a nice benefit for Pell eligible students. On with more news. For those of us who use CSAC, or the California Student Aid Commission's web grant system, you should know and see all the improvements made through their grant delivery system modernization project that they undertook over the last couple of years. Remember, Dana, all of the times you listed off, all the things that you listed off last week or so, I think, when we did an update on this?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, all the things to keep in mind, we're going to see a refresh look and feel to web grant screens. You'll have improved filters on the CalGrant display roster screen. Upcoming quarterly enhancements continue on through. Accessibility across most of the popular browsers and devices, so you're not limited to just like one type of browser. And improved ADA compliance. For more information, check out the CSAC Special Alert number 2021-16 from April 23rd. We'll put a link in it for this in our show notes.
You know, thinking of training, and you know all I think about is training, Adigo sent out an email regarding some free webinars they are offering in May and June. On Thursday, May 27th, they have a session titled Hitting the Reset Button, which is all about when your life takes a turn from stability and bliss to turbulent waters, and how it may just be time to stop and change directions. Maybe it's time to hit the reset button and work to reclaim your inner peace. On a similar note, there's a session on June 8th titled The Balancing Act of Work and Home. It'll talk about how you must be intentional in your planning and integration to ensure happiness and satisfaction both at home and work. There's a whole lot more covered in other webinars throughout the coming months, so check out our show notes for links to the two opportunities I just talked about and to get their full list of webinars.
Absolutely, Dana. I love these kind of trainings because why? They're free. Exactly. Now, Dana, have you ever thought, separate from training, have you ever thought of leaving the beautiful, if not overtaxed, state of California?
Real talk, sometimes yes.
Sometimes yes. I'm with you on that. Well, in case you were, there's a job opening back in the state of my origin.
Oh, boy. So Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. So the University of Wisconsin in Superior is looking for a new financial aid director. UW Superior would be like a Cal State school here in our state. So it's not too big. It's not too small. And I've been to this school and the city of Superior. It's right on Lake Superior, as it sounds, just east of Duluth, Minnesota. So it's at the top left corner of Wisconsin, people, right on the lake. Now, the biggest drawback for you and me, it is winter there about 9 months of the year.
Yeah,
it feels like it. But the scenery is beautiful, and you can definitely be alone with your thoughts if you want to by walking about 1 minute out of town. Just so you know. As a piece of trivia, do you, Dana, know of any former governors of California who may have attended UW-Superior?
I'm going to take a wild guess.
Wow, that is a very good guess. Yes, international film star. Former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yes, so apparently...
Terminator.
If I understand the story goes, Arnold met a professor from the business area of that school during some of his acting days who convinced him to continue with his studies remotely with him and the school. So they worked out a deal and all that he would be able to do that. I assume he went to campus at least a little bit. And keep in mind, this is because Arnold had attended a community college in California before. Dana, do you know which one?
Probably Santa Monica.
Very good guess. Yes, if you're going to be at Venice Beach, you're going to live the waterfront life. Santa Monica College, everybody. So, yes, he continued his studies there. So we have a kind of a connection to the school. So if you or others are looking for a move to the Midwest, or I should say the far north of the Midwest, we'll include a link to the job offering in our show notes.
Well, Dennis, I may not be looking to move anytime soon, but, you know, you never know. So, looking at the Nashville website recently, I saw that they had an article about a report that details how to use a negative expected family contribution to help support students with unmet need. With the replacement of our old EFC with the Student Aid Index, which also incorporates a negative SAI floor, a new study from the Hope Center for College, Community, and Justice aims to show how presenting students with a negative EFC or negative SAI will help students better understand their true out-of-pocket costs related to attending college. Using information from 6 colleges in Texas, including 4 community colleges and 2 regional or Cal State-type universities, they found more than 70% of aid applicants would have a negative EFC. What does this mean? Students with a negative EFC could win more aid eligibility for a student as they demonstrate a higher level of need than what a zero EFC would denote. This includes both dependent students and many independent students with children. There's a lot to read in the report, so check out the links in our show notes to the Nashville article and the Hope Center report.
We'll probably have more on this, I think, in the next year, because this is all when we talk about EFC. That's the old term, right? Expected family contribution.
Mm-hmm.
Student Aid Index is an old term that's coming back in a couple years with part of this FAFSA simplification. And with it, instead of just replacing the name of it, normally the lowest number when you do a FAFSA, a federal aid form, is zero, which means you have zero available money to contribute to a year of school. But in reality, we know that number could even be lower than that. And so that's what this whole new stuff is going to be about. And so we're going to definitely talk about that when we talk FAFSA simplification and the change in the FAFSA coming up in just a year or so. So keep tuned in, everybody. Dana, as our scholarship coordinator, though, did you see the good news from the Foundation for California Community Colleges regarding a major donation to our state community college system?
No, tell me about it.
This is good news. Just recently, the J. Pritzker Foundation committed to giving $100 million over 20 years to provide scholarships to students to help meet their educational goals. Managed by the Foundation for California Community Colleges, or FCCC, they will provide $150,000 per college during the first year. Funds may be used, due to the pandemic, to provide emergency aid to students for the current time. Students may be eligible to receive up to $18,500 per year to help cover their full, true cost of attendance.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good money. As quoted from Dan Pritzker, president of the J. Pritzker Foundation, many community college students have difficulty affording basic needs such as food, shelter, clothing, and child care. The J. Pritzker Foundation grant is meant to serve those most in need who have the drive to succeed. So, Dana, be on the lookout for some new money for our students from this donation. I'm sure it can go a long way towards helping a lot of students across the state.
Absolutely.
So we'll put a link in our show notes to the news article on the FCCC website. And that, amazingly, everybody, is all the news we have for today. So let's slide ourselves with a little bit of music in the last sip segment of our day. And just like that, we are back, everybody, for the last sip. Dana, we didn't even talk about what we were drinking because we were so busy talking about how I'm talking like a robot to you.
Yes, we were.
Are you drinking anything fancy this morning?
Not too fancy. It's just going to be my my go-to, my mint tea. But
yes.
I will say I had added fresh mint leaves to my mint.
Oh. How very high class of you.
Yes, excuse me. Excuse me.
Well, I will say I am drinking one of those sparkling waters. Because I had a very short conversation when I passed through a cigar place I go to once in a while last weekend with one of the guys there who's, we call him the Duke. Because he reminds people of John Wayne. You know, kind of a rough and gruff guy, but he's a super nice guy. Very smart. Architect, too. And he happened to see that I had my breakfast bag of McMuffins from McDonald's. And I had a soda. He goes, soda, that's awful stuff. Don't drink that at all. He goes, you know what you should do? You should drink those sparkly waters or whatever. No calories and all that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you know how I feel about those. You know my brand.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying.
You were holding up a different brand, though.
Yes. So I decided, okay, because I order my food from Ralph's and do pickup so that other people can come through the store, you know, and all that good stuff. But I'll start going back in soon. So I did buy the bubbly one that Michael Bublé advertises for. But then I bought this other brand just to see if there's any real difference in taste. This one's Waterloo. Kind of a good idea for a brand that sells water, right? Waterloo. And it's the same flavor, but I do think it tastes a little better. So who knows? That's my I dare you to, is to try out sparkling water.
Yeah, and wait, have I ever told the audience what my brand? I think I have.
I don't know.
Pellegrino.
Oh, I think we've talked about your Pellegrino for
my favorite.
Phase.
Oh, yeah. Life. And they also... self-flavored, but no sugar.
Exactly. Yes.
No sugar. Yeah.
I think they do have some now that have, like,
they
flavor
the
and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
the ones I do don't have sugar, but like you said, they do have some that are.
Yeah. Yeah. So you gotta be careful. So that's Dana's I dare you to today, everybody. You do the Pellegrino. In my case, if you can find the Waterloo, try the Waterloo.
So we want everybody, we encourage you to be extra.
Yes.
And start drinking sparkling water.
That's right. It's good for you, everybody. Well, Dana, that's about all we have time for today, but there's always our next episode where hopefully we don't sound like robots. I want to thank my co-host, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
And everyone, if you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
Find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 251, a creative collaboration of Dennis and me.
This has been episode number 89, recorded the morning of Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Have a great day.
And everyone, have a great week.